You oppose the delay in the budget address from the governor. Why?
I did, Rich. And traditionally, do we oftentimes agree to delay the budget address? Yes, we do. This just so happens to be the second longest delay in history that we can remember. I believe it was 92. We delayed it till the end, the very end of March for Governor Edgar. But for me, it was the extent of the delay, to delay it clear to the end of March, obviously after the primary.
Do you feel it's this is a political move then?
I would say that definitely there is some politics involved in this. There has only been one address, budget address, that this administration has done on time. And that was in 2011. All of the others, there's been a request for a delay, a delay, a delay. We're not reinventing the wheel here. And for me, the concern is, as a member of an appropriations committee and the minority spokesperson for higher education appropriations, we've got a lot of work to do. We can't cram that work into 8 weeks. And while we will go ahead and begin our testimony from various entities, when you look at school districts, for example, they start to RIF teachers at the end of March. They send out notifications. So, you know, we have no idea where the governor is going with his budget, and will we be in tune with him? We won't know that until perhaps the end of March.
Is it that important to know whether you're in tune with him? Like you said, you're going to proceed with your work anyways.
Well, for example, the governor mentioned in his State of the State address that he wanted to double the MAP funding. I think that would be an incredible idea if we had the money. He also would like to expand early learning. Fabulous idea. It has been proven that the earlier we can get kids started in a classroom situation, the more successful they will be. Fabulous idea. We have so many financial challenges right now in Illinois. I can't see where we can add additional funding at this time. As a matter of fact, we're going to be looking at deficits that we haven't seen certainly in the last few years. So my concern is, if we, for example, in higher education, try to keep MAP funding at the level funding from last year, will the governor, in fact, do what he has done in the past and extend the application period, and the Appropriations Committee and the state is on the hook for more money that was not worked into the appropriation?
So if a proposal came to the House floor for a vote to double MAP funding, even though you support the idea, would you vote against it because you think there's just not any money to do that?
Well, if that proposal came with an identified revenue stream, I would be on that absolutely. If it's just pie in the sky, we want to double the MAP funding and we have no idea where we're going to get the money, that money has to come from somewhere. Is it coming from our human service providers? Is it coming from our K through 12 budget? Is it coming from another area in higher education? It has to come from somewhere.
Where is money going to come from for anything the state wants to do this year, or are we facing more cuts across the board?
We're definitely facing more cuts. The preliminary figures that we're getting from the Committee on Government Forecasting and Accountability is forecasting about $34 billion in revenues for this year. Sounds like a lot of money. Sounds like we should certainly be able to pay our bills, fund our services, and more. However, that is about $1.6 billion less than last year. In addition to that, we will be looking at an income tax increase that's due to expire. So that would be, you know, close to another $2 billion. So we could be looking at a deficit of upwards of $3.5 to $4 billion. So it's going to be a real challenge.
Well, based on that, would you support extending or making permanent the income tax increase?
Rich, I have not heard from my constituents that they are in favor of that. That's not a decision that I make solely on my own. And that's pretty traditional with all of my votes. I vote the way the majority of my constituents have asked me to vote.
What are you hearing from them on this issue? Anything right now?
I'm not hearing a lot, but the few folks that I've heard from have said, absolutely not. We want that to go away. Now, there is talk from Speaker Madigan that he would like to lower the corporate income tax, and perhaps that would ease some of this burden as far as more job creation. But I think that it has to be coupled. Where Speaker Madigan seems to be going with this is on a larger scale with the larger employers. But, you know, a lot of our small businesses, they, in fact, are not corporations. They are individuals that own businesses and pay taxes at that level. So
would you like to see something done also for the smaller businesses if it's going to be done for the bigger corporations?
Absolutely. And if we can couple that with more reforms in workers' compensation to actually include causation in that, then we may begin to get to a point where we were many, 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 many years ago, where businesses were actually looking at Illinois not just to locate but to expand. You know, we've seen Caterpillar do 5 expansions in the last several years, and none of them have been in Illinois. There's no reason for that. We have rail. We have, we have the ability for ports. We have everything that any business corporation should need, and we just need to do a better job of marketing it and better environment.
Something that would help create jobs in this region would be construction of the Performing Arts Center at
Yes.
Western. Is that money going to be released this year?
I'm hopeful, Rich. You know, that money was part of the 2009 capital bill. And really and truly, I can go back in that file probably getting close to 20 years ago, when folks were talking about it and requesting the funds back to then Governor Ryan. And so the 2009 capital bill, all of those funds, if you will, I believe those bonds have been sold. There may be a couple of more potential sales, but in my estimation, that money should be forthcoming because of the sale of those bonds. So I'm hopeful, and you're right, it would be a huge construction boom to this area, which we sorely need.
So that money basically is there, it just has not been released. Is that the deal?
The appropriation has been approved and included in the amount of the bonds. And so those bonds are sold at different increments, and it just depends upon which sale the administration decides to include the Performing Arts Center in.
What about at least the first half of the Macomb Bypass? Might there be some money coming to finish that sometime soon?
There is talk in Springfield. Certainly it's very early, it's very preliminary about another capital bill. You know, we just talked about the Performing Arts Center. I'd kind of like to see the projects that were part of that capital bill released and finalized before we start down the road of another one. For me, driving home the other day on 67 coming from Springfield, I see what's happening to our roads. And after this winter, when this snow becomes wet and water, and it's going to be devastating. So the need for a capital bill to address our infrastructure needs is definitely a priority. My hope would be that included in that would be the hard surface for the bypass, which is what we're waiting on now. There is no money in the budget for hard surface. And so a capital bill, while it's necessary, the devil is always in the details, how we're going to pay for it. We've raised a lot of fees and taxed a lot of things in recent years, so I'm not sure what's left.
How the 2009 capital bill, how is that being paid for?
That's through the sale of bonds, and the revenue streams were from three different sources. Rich, if you remember, there was a cigarette tax increase. In addition, there was a tax on alcohol and spirits. That was the one that was caught up in court.
With the Wirtz family.
With the Wirtz family for about a year. But all of the taxes were collected, in fact, and put in an escrow account. And when that was satisfied and found to be acceptable, those monies were released. So that was the second leg of it. The third leg of it was video gaming. And that's where the hiccup was for so long. We've only had video gaming really implemented in the last year or so in a lot of places, and that continues to grow. That was an issue with the gaming board, quite frankly. They weren't getting their act together, and sometimes I think we have a gaming board that doesn't like gambling, and while that may be okay, I question whether you should be in that position.
Video gaming within your legislative district, are a lot of places installing those games, those machines?
I see signs as I travel the district, you know, video gaming available here, and certainly some of our fraternal clubs have put machines in, and I hear from them that it has been successful for them. It was funny. We were we stopped at a restaurant over in Fulton County the other night, and here was these video gaming machines, and it was just kind of odd to see that when you were having dinner. But you know, whatever floats their boat.
When do you go back to Springfield?
We are not in session next week, so we have a bit of a reprieve, and then we go back pretty much full force the week after that.
February 17th, you go back?
Right.
Full force?
Right.
All right.
Yep.
What will be your, primary focus when you get back there on the 17th?
I have a couple of bills that I introduced, and it's my understanding that perhaps Senator Sullivan is headed in the same direction. So we will, you know, rather than run a bill through the House and a bill through the Senate, we'll just I'll talk with John and we'll get together and do it as one. We have had consolidations of school districts of late, and we as a state have certainly encouraged that while leaving it to local control. We promised those school districts, if you would consolidate, we would give you 100% funding towards that effort. Well, and take, for example, the Abington-Avon School District when they recently consolidated. Because the general state aid is prorated at 89%, the powers that be decided, well, we'll just fund the consolidation funding at 89% as well. I don't think it's right. I think when you make a promise to someone, if you do this, here is what we will do. I have legislation that would provide for 100% funding for those schools that are going to consolidate. In addition, I have another trailer bill that says if you have consolidated, you were under that agreement, then we will provide that fund for you.
As you mentioned, school districts have been encouraged to consolidate, which means they become larger geographically, and it becomes more expensive to bus the kids to school, especially with fuel costs. That's been cut in recent years, the transportation funding for school districts. Any hope of them getting more money, since they were encouraged to become larger geographically, get more funding to pay for busing the kids to school?
And do I hope that there's going to be more money? I would hope that. But quite frankly, Rich, a lot of the folks that I serve with, they have no concept of the size of our districts. When I tell my colleagues that I have a district that's over 400 square miles, they just look at me like I have three heads. They cannot fathom it. And whether you're from the city of Chicago or the suburbs, they just don't understand the size of our school districts. So do I hope that there's going to be more money there? You bet I do. Do I think there is? No, absolutely not. Our challenge, in fact, is going to be to maintain the funding that we have for transportation, because the governor, when he gave his State of the Budget address last year, wanted to slash transportation funding dramatically. So we're going to have to try to stand our ground.
So this probably is not even really on the radar for most legislators, certainly not the decision makers.
Not the decision makers, no. No, absolutely not.
All right. Anything you want to add? Anything we didn't touch on you think people might want to know?
No, I think we're beginning to see, and it's very new, so we should perhaps get together and talk about it when the ball starts to roll and gets a little more mature. But Senator Menar from the Springfield area has been working through the summer with a group on studying education funding across the state of Illinois. And, you know, a lot of folks have talked about it for many, many years, but there was a resolution that was passed that would appoint members from the Senate and the House to sit on this committee and study it. Speaker Madigan didn't choose to appoint any members from the House, so Senator Menar went forward with it with President Cullerton's blessing, and we're beginning to see a few details, but
is this to change the school funding formula, a little less of a reliance on property taxes?
It does all of that, but the bigger part of it is that it truly examines how those funds are distributed across the state of Illinois, and Senator Menar is looking at distributing them in a more equitable manner, which would certainly benefit areas like ours.